Welcome to the Frontline Industry Podcast, where the best of the best executives from around the world share their leadership advice and insights, giving you practical tips and strategies that you can take and immediately implement in your teams and organizations to help you become the leader you want to be. On today's episode, the importance of authenticity and humility, I talk with Denebra McClendon, Global Head of DEI at Dayforce. Denebra explains the key trait in effective leadership, the person who will supercharge your career the most, and how to find them, the importance of reading, how believing in the goodness of people can lead to forgiveness and growth, and much more. Don't go anywhere. The Frontline Industry Podcast starts right now. Welcome to the Frontline Industry Podcast. My name is Joel, and joining me today is Denebra McClendon. She's Ceridian, now Dayforce. They're Global Head of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion with over 19 years of experience dedicating herself to developing unbiased and inclusive leaders. She's currently pursuing her doctoral degree in strategic leadership at Liberty University and has also founded a nonprofit organization, Leaders Are Readers, which I want to learn more about today, which focuses on promoting literacy in the Tampa Bay area. She's actually pretty much my neighbor. We just found this out that we're about 20 minutes away from each other, which is fantastic, and has a skincare routine and complexion that would make Jennifer Aniston blush. Welcome to the podcast, Denebra.
Thank you so much for having me, Joel. I'm so excited to chat it up with you today.
I am so excited too. It is a funny small world, as we kind of figured out last time, being so close to each other. And I was tempted to do this in person, and yet there's no way I could have gotten such a cool background that you have right now and into the shot. So we'll do it this way, but I'm sure there'll be an opportunity to meet up face to face one day.
Awesome. I can't wait.
So, Denebra, boy, you've had a long time at Ceridian, now Dayforce. You've spent your career developing leaders.
Yeah.
I am so excited for this conversation today because I think that you're going to have incredible insight and wisdom into some complex topics, some topics that I think are, you know, when you think about D&I and you think about leadership development, these are things that we're never really done with, right? We're never going to arrive at some end and go, and now we're done with that, right? And so for you, I think the thing that popped out in our first conversation, the thing that I felt so excited about was just how authentic you are. You know, I think it'd be easy. I don't want to, you know, make you blush too early in a conversation, but I think it'd be easy for someone of your background, the things you've accomplished, to come across very polished and not to say you're not polished, but polished and carry yourself with a certain aura and of importance, right? And you are so vulnerable and so authentic and so real in you. And I wonder, is that intentional or is that just baked into who you are? Have you had to work at that? How do you do that when others may come across as less authentic than you do?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that one of the first things I learned was that there is only one me. I come from a very large family, and oftentimes, you know, people struggle with family dynamics of really trying to show up as themselves or kind of prove themselves. I never had to do that. In my career, I've always learned there's only one you. I mean, the name alone speaks authentic, right? So I think it's always best, and I encourage people, show up as who you are. There can only be one you. When you are really confident in what you bring to the table, that's all you have to worry about. So authenticity has always been just naturally who I am. I love people. I love working with people. I love talking to people. I ask lots of questions, but I'm an open book too. So leaning in with who I am naturally has always really, it's always benefited me. And I encourage people to do the same. It's way too hard to be somebody else. So I literally just show up as me, and I am who I am. And either that works for some people or it doesn't. But as a leader, what it's shown me and it's helped me to really establish myself as being, you know, true and genuine and making genuine connections, because I literally enjoy the work that I do. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy building those relationships. Mm. It hasn't ever been hard for me just to show up as me.
When you think about showing up as you, I think it sounds perhaps to some who may not have reached the levels of career that you have, where it's like, I would love to show up as me, Denebra, but I feel like I need to position myself or look different in order to really succeed. I feel like I need to carry myself a certain way. And to a certain extent, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to a certain extent, I feel like when you're early in your career, you are, you know, think about like the way you dress. You're dressing for success. You're showing up for the job you want, right? And how do you balance that when you maybe are more immature, maybe you know less stuff, and you showing up as authentic, you may not be what you want to portray to others?
Yeah, I think, again, it's important for you to surround yourself with people that you respect and admire. And when you do that, you start to glean from them as well. So as you continue to build yourself, you continue to evolve. I'm not the same person at 40 plus that I was at 20. But what I mean by that is I'm the same Denebra, maybe a little bit more polished because I've had different experiences. But I think what helps me to really differentiate myself from others is I am honest with who I am, and I'm also honest with who I want to be. Being authentic to yourself really does mean that you stand out from a crowd because you don't try to intimidate others. You don't try to copy other people. You really just want to be your real self. So while your style may change, your language may change as you continue to grow and you experience different things, who you are in your core is who you are. And that I think that will always be the number one advice that I would tell people is no matter who you want to be or where you aspire to be, when you're comfortable with the skills that you have and you've surrounded yourself with excellence, you will always show up, or you should always show up as your authentic self.
So, Denebra, we pluck you out of Dayforce, right? Yeah, we pluck you out of your work environment, the job you have every day, which you have been very accomplished at doing so far, but we pluck you out of that environment and we just look at the nucleus of Denebra.
Yep.
Who are you? If you're going to kind of boil it down to this essence of who is Denebra?
Denebra is loud. I am loud all the time. I'm a little bit bossy, but I know that, again, I have always been that way. But I'm also the people's champion. Like, I will cheer people on because I genuinely want to see people win. And because of that, I think that's what's made me a huge asset. No matter what organization I'm a part of, what work I'm doing charitably, I want to genuinely see people win. And again, that's what makes me authentic. Recognizing that my superpower is investing in others, it's who I am all the time. I tell people, I started my career off, I was the drive-through girl at McDonald's at age 15. I came in with a lot of energy. I was probably super loud at 5:30 in the morning, but it made me who I am, right? It gave me that energy, and that's how I show up. I'm that same drive-through girl several years later, right? Wanting to see people do well, wanting to serve the people. That never changes, no matter what role I've taken on.
So flashback to drive-through girl and your supervisor or your GM at that McDonald's. If you had been that person looking at 15-year-old Denebra, what were some of the things that would have stood out of like, oh, this girl's got something special. Like, she's going to go places. Like, if you were to now flashback and think, these are the moments of inspiration or things that gave evidence to the future that you would have ahead of you.
What was it? Honestly.
Yeah, what were those things you think that would have stood out?
I think it's high energy. And I'm just genuinely happy. There are too many things I can rock my boat, right? I always try to put things into the right perspective. So no matter what the situation is, I always try to think about, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Okay, and then how do we address that? So I live in the moment, super enthusiastic, and I think that's what's propelled me. Plus, I will tell you, Joel, I am highly competitive, right? I hate to lose. So no matter what I'm doing, I always want to come out as the winner. So I'm always strategizing about how can I come out of this thing on top, and then how do I bring others with me? So again, 15-year-old Denebra was thinking, you know what? I can make my drive-through times faster than anybody else is, right? Again, always a competition, always trying to win, always trying to come out on top, but doing so, right, with a lot of positivity. So never want to take anybody down, right, unfairly, but always wanting to come out as a winner. Those things, I think, really helped to propel me specifically in my career. People saw me and they wanted to be around someone who always wanted to win. And again, doing so in a way that welcomed other people, welcomed other perspectives because I knew that I couldn't do it alone and I needed to build great teams around me. So that's what I think really stood out as 15-year-old Tenebra, as 40-plus Tenebra. So
yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, and you're touching on something that I want to pivot to, and that is when you see others now in your position who you see a similar spark in, maybe they're not at the drive-through, maybe they're the lower level early career people at Dayforce or whatever it may be. Career progression can really be fast-forwarded or the momentum can increase when you have that level of sponsorship from someone above you in your organization. And I think that's important to you. And I'd love to hear about, how do you identify these people? How do they stand out? Maybe there's some employees at Dayforce right now. They're like, I want to be noticed. I want to advance and I want to be the best version of myself. And maybe you can talk about how sponsorship is critical for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will tell you, sponsorship is critical for career advancement. I think I heard Carla Harris say it the first time, and that was, you know, you have two types of equity, right? So there is your work equity. Your work will stand out, right? It will get you paid, but it will not get you promoted. You'll need a sponsor to get promoted. Sponsors open up doors. They create opportunities. They open up networks. They have the seat at the table and they have the seats in those rooms where conversations are happening all around about who's the next superstar or who's the next to be promoted. You need a sponsor for that. I think sponsorship must be earned. In order for you to earn sponsorship, you have to prove yourself worthy of that. And what I mean by that is you have to be trustworthy. You have to have morals, and you really have to be able to be worthy for someone to co-sign on you. I tell people a lot of times, I meet a lot of great people. It's not too many people I'm going to put my name on as their sponsor unless they have earned that position. So. Yep. When you're looking for a sponsor, you have to look for people who, one, have the ability to sit in those rooms where decisions are being made. Some people may think they do, but they really don't. And then two, you have to ask yourself, what have I done to be able to earn this person's trust so now that they feel comfortable in sponsoring me? I talk about sponsorship a lot because, again, your work will only get you so far. You're going to need to know someone. They're going to need to open up their network. Someone's going to have to be able to give you an opportunity for you to be able to show what you can do outside of just your work. It's about building relationships. And those things don't come without someone taking the chance on you.
So I 100% agree with you. And there's actually an earlier episode, maybe in the 20s in the podcast, so quite a while ago, that was titled Power Mentorship, which is a similar idea of just how I find my power mentor, and you know what makes that person different than a normal mentor, and I think you're talking about sponsorship. Like, that's the same idea that you're bringing up here. How on earth do I find a sponsor, Tenebra? All of Dayforce, and I'm like, gosh, well, I want to be noticed. How do you do that without being desperate or throwing yourself at people or coming across as, you know, immature? How do you find that person, Tenebra?
I think you have to be vulnerable, right? And honestly, I think you have to ask for what you want. When you've identified the person within the organization that you believe has the level of visibility and the level of influence that you think can get you to the next level, I think you just have to be vulnerable and ask. I've asked for what I wanted several times. And what's the worst thing that can happen? They'll either say yes. Listen, I trust in you. I believe in you. I've seen what you can do. Your work equity has proven to me that you're someone that I'm willing to take a chance on. It's like any investment. And I know that I'm going to see a return on that investment. Or they can say no, right? And if they say no, I'll go back to what Carla Harris said. It's probably for a couple of reasons. One, they don't believe in you. And you could ask very, very pointed questions. Is there something that I can do to earn your sponsorship of me? If you're not vulnerable and you're not asking for what you want, you're literally being passive in your career and opportunities that could be, you know, passing you by. So the question is, are you willing to ask for what you want? And it depends on how bad do you want it. So you have to set aside ego for a minute and don't worry about how you may look or what it may come off as, or maybe it looks a little bit desperate. If you want it bad enough, you have to be willing to invest in yourself, to take the risk, to ask the people who you believe can help you to get there. Again, if they say no, maybe they don't have the visibility that you think they have. So I'm intentional about building authentic relationships, specifically authentic relationships in networks and circles with people that I can continue to learn from, with people who I've watched grow, and with people who I believe can act as sponsors for me.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's gonna be one of the most listened to parts of this podcast, I think, by a lot of people, because it's such relevant, good advice. And I think especially for young people as they begin their career.
I
certainly don't want to lump everyone into this, but I think in this world that we're in today, in a TikTok world where people are flaunting fake wealth and lifestyle and things where it's like, boy, like they've all made it. And you don't know how much you don't know. When you're in your 20s, I mean, if I talked to 29-year-old me, I would still say, you know nothing, right? You just don't know much. And you're growing and you're eager and you're doing a great job at what you've been given. And for those who've been given a little, more will be given later on. And you can keep on earning more and more responsibility. But I didn't know much, right? And as I grow, the more I know, I don't know much. And so I think that a lot of young people are going, like, I want to make it, and yet they're not aware of how much the leaders above them will appreciate that humility, that vulnerability.
Yeah, 100%, right? I think humility is key, but I think a lot of times our egos get in the way, or like you said, right? They're heavily influenced. We live in this microwave society where we can log onto the World Wide Web and we see people living these lifestyles that we believe it's fake, y'all. Like, it's not real. It's really fake. It really took time to kind of build to get to where you want to be. You have to get in there. You have to get in the game, but you got to put in your time. You got to put in your work. And when you come from a place when you're looking for a place to grow, you have to start from a place of humility, and meaning you don't know what you don't know. And that's okay. It's not okay to stay there, but it's absolutely okay to have a self-awareness about what you don't know.
Yep. And I think good leaders look at that and go, that's not a weakness. That's an incredible strength.
It is.
That self-awareness, that ability to recognize deficits and be seeking to improve them and grow. When I look at people who I would want to develop or people who would want to be on my team, I'm not looking for people who come strolling in like Conor McGregor and are like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to crush this and get out of my way. Yes, I want them to have that sort of charisma or confidence in elements of their job. But when they're talking to me, I want them to be like, I don't know how to do this, and I really want to. I know this is where I want to go, and here's my plan, but how can you help me get there? And I want them to have that humility. And I think there's so much more respect that comes with that. When I look at people who are incredible leaders, that humility and authenticity is not a weakness. It's incredible strength. And when you find that leader who can mentor you or can sponsor you, who also exudes that strength, I think it's an incredible place to find yourself kind of being mentored for that person for the long run. So great insights, Sunibra.
Yeah. And listen, Joel, I think you're spot on. I tell people all the time, like, I've never aspired to be to have longevity in any organization. I just wanted to do good work and get paid. But I just wanted to do good work. So building relationships and having the trust of the people who I've been entrusted to lead has always been, again, my goal. And how do I do that? I lean in with the, listen, I don't know what I don't know. I've led all types of teams at Dayforce. I tell people I've led payroll teams and I can only calculate my own paycheck. I've led tax teams and I pay somebody to do my taxes. So being that subject matter expert isn't what you need in order to be a good leader. What you need is to start from a place of humility. What you need is to build authentic relationships so that you want others around you to be successful. And I work every single day to make sure that the people who I have the ability to lead feel like they are valued employees within our own organization, but I also want them to feel like they are valued people. I value you for what you bring to the team, for who you are, and I respect you. And doing that keeps people excited and engaged and motivated to want to do good work. So I take no credit for the teams that I've led, and I've led some amazing teams, but I take no credit for that other than the fact that I've given them I've empowered them with being able to be themselves, right? To bring their gifts to the table. I've recognized and appreciated their gifts and encouraged them to continue to do better. think one of the challenges that leaders have is that they try to hoard their talent, right? You're my employee and you're really good. So I want to keep you here. That to me is an epic fail. You have to be able to grow, develop, and keep it moving. Yeah. What makes me know that I'm really good at what I do is when I can look through the organization and say, oh, that one worked for me. Oh, I remember when that one started. Or, oh, I remember that one. Because listen, we had some tough times getting them strong enough, but boy, did we do it. And look at them now. That's what makes me an amazing leader in my eyes. Like, Denebra, you are really good, girl, because you did these.
Yes.
And again, it's that I want to do better. I want to win. I win when I see people who I've had the pleasure of working with show up in the organization as leaders.
Yeah, good leaders replicate good leaders. I mean, that is so, so true. Talk to me about humility. We just talked a little bit about it, but boy, humility, I think for a lot of people is difficult to define or at least live out because of what we've just talked about a little bit, right? There's humility. But there's also you're a humble person, but you're so confident at the same time. You're like, I know the real Denebra. I'm great at this. I'm a good leader. And it's like, okay, well, that's to some people that might not come across as humble. To some people, it might be like, oh, I could be better. I could be a better leader. You know, all of us have weaknesses and I'm just working through mine. But you're so bold about what you're good at and you know you can do. And also you're like, I don't do my own taxes. I can't do that. Like you have this balance. And I wonder how you would define humility then, because I think to some people you might be manifesting elements that they go, I wouldn't necessarily think that's humble. And yet I'm going, I see it. Like I see the humility and the confidence and they're coming together in a very special Denebra that is before me today.
I'm just going to tell you, humility is often seen as a weakness, right? And I see it as my superpower. When I'm confident enough to say what I don't know, but what I don't stay there, right? So humility is, again, understanding and recognizing, having that sense of self-awareness that I don't know what I don't know. I'm looking to learn from others. And learning is a continuous process. I'm always looking to learn more from everybody that I encounter. I'm really good at that wanting to learn more. It's not a weakness for me. Again, because I think it brings other people's guards down. It actually relaxes and takes a lot of stress away from me when I don't feel like I have to know everything. But I think it also opens me up to being receptive and to having other people come in to want to teach me because I really want to learn. And I think that, again, I think it's a superpower to be able to recognize that being humble is a good thing. I'm culturally humble because I travel the world, but there's still so much for me to learn. I am a humble leader because I've met lots of people, but I haven't met everybody. So personalities are different, lived experiences are different, and I learn from every single person that I encounter. So I think approaching humility as a superpower, as an ability to continue to grow and to continue to want to learn, makes me stronger. Doesn't take away from what I know for sure, right? And what I know for sure I do. And I show up with that and that comes across as confidence. But I think the ability to want to continue to learn and to always stay engaged, I think that is what I think is missing from a lot of leaders. Because I think, again, I think we give too much credit to subject matter experts. And we lean into that as their superpower. But really, it's those who recognize that they don't know everything and there's still so much to learn.
So in regards to learning, you're finishing your mid-degree right now, in PhD. How much time do you got left on that?
Listen, we're not going to talk about how much time we have left. No, I'm just joking. That's a question people ask me. I'm like, listen, I take it one semester at a time.
Fine. You're doing what people will never do. So I get it.
But again, it's that whole competition in me. I want to be the best. And in order for me to be the best, I need to have the highest level of degrees. I got a curio full of degrees. So my expected graduation date is December 2025. My goal is to be finished before my youngest graduates from college. Because again, I'm always about a competition. If I can beat her, then I'll be good, right?
There you go. There you go. That's awesome.
I compete towards all things that are good. So,
right. Yeah. Well, the reason I asked, Nibra, is, you know, you strike me as, this is a nonsensical thing to say because you've already demonstrated it so clearly, but as a learner, an avid learner who looks at the world as her oyster and goes, hey, there's so much to know, so much to learn. I must have it all, right?
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, what are the things that as you look with your strategic leadership degree that you're finishing up or whatever it may be, you look at this oyster and go, I have a limited number of years on this planet. Mm-hmm. I have a limited amount of time that I can give this learning without it detracting from my family life or my current career or whatever it may be. What are the gaps or the things that you're like, this is forefront for me? Like, this is right now for the next foreseeable future. This matters when it comes to learning this right now.
Yeah, I think for me, what matters the most with learning is being able to have the desire to want to continue to learn. So it's not one specific thing. It's not learning one specific thing. For me, it's the desire to want to continue to learn. I don't think I'll ever learn enough, right? And I'm really good with that. You'll never learn enough. I read a lot. And every time I pick up a new book, I'm learning something else. I think what I've learned, the most important thing for me is knowing that I am a lifelong learner. And I value that, but I also appreciate that in other people. So for me, it was being able to tap into what am I here to do? How do I serve other people? And I think I do that through the learning process and making it okay for others to say, listen, I may not know it all and that's okay, but continuing the process of learning will never die. It will never get old. There will never be a period at the end of that. There will always be something else to learn. To me, that's the most important, is to keep that desire to want to learn more. Mm-hmm. I think I wouldn't be me if I ever lost that.
From a professional development standpoint, mm-hmm. what are you working on right now?
Yeah, and that is being able to educate others about the importance of authenticity, educate others about the importance of surrounding yourselves with the right people for career growth, and to help them to strategize about how they can make themselves better. I think when I finally figured it out, Denibra, this is what you were meant to do, right? The key now is to teach others how they can figure out what they were meant to do, and then to help them to navigate that. So I'll be launching a series on social media on the 29th of March. Y'all check me out on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. But it's all about how do I help give tips for other people to kind of tap into who they are as authentic leaders, because I think we all have it in us. And I'll be sharing some lessons that I've learned along the way.
Well, that's really, really cool. That's new information to me. I'm excited to see it come out.
Yes, and check me out, March 29th.
I will find you, and I will definitely do that. Talk to me about this nonprofit you've put together, because I'm curious about that. It wasn't something that we talked about in our first meeting, and when you sent me your bio and I reviewed that, I went, okay, leaders are readers. This is new, and I'd love to hear you just talked about how important it is to read, and now it's starting to click for me why that might be passion for you. But when did you start that? Why did you start it, and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
So totally started selfishly. I turned 30 and I didn't need another thing. My husband asked, well, what can we do? What do you want to do? And I was like, you know, if I could do anything, what I would do is I would tackle the problem of literacy, specifically in our community. You heard me say that I come from a very large family. And one of the things that was always cherished in our family is books. We never threw away a book. We never... you got your hands on a book and you read it. You read it more than once and you shared it with the other members in your family. So reading is a passion for me. I absolutely love reading. I think it is the key, and it unlocks so many opportunities. They're all hidden in books. I think for so many people who don't have access to books, or maybe who don't have the proper guidance or the encouragement for stressing the importance of literacy and reading, I find that to be disheartening. So when I turned 30, one of the first things I did was I said, listen, I need about 30 books. I need a place and I need to set it up and get some people in here. And we're going to start having some conversations about reading. My daughter was in my first class. She was in my first cohort, but it was her and 9 of her other friends. So we had a group of 10 people who sat in a library, and we literally just started reading through books. And what I found was that no matter where you grew up, no matter what your circumstances are, books will allow you to travel all over the world and even beyond the world if you get into some of the fantasy books. So it really opened up like several opportunities for people who've never even had, who can even imagine themselves in different situations. So winning has always been extremely, extremely important to me, and giving people opportunities to read have always been extremely important to me. Learning about people who look like me, people from circumstances similar to mine, from backgrounds similar to mine, even those who were different, has always been really intriguing for me. So making sure that we keep that going, that we continue to provide people with opportunities. I say people because kids are important. They're my most passionate audience. And I say parents as well, because you can't teach what you don't know. So we would invite parents to come to those sessions as well. And leaders or readers will continue to go. We continue to provide books to people who don't necessarily have access to them. And we create these spaces where we can have conversations about books, because reading, again, is something that you can never take away. When you learn something, when it's truly embedded in here, no matter what happens, no matter what jobs come or go or money comes and goes, if it's embedded here, you'll always have it. And that's what reading has been for me.
So top three books for you, the ones that are, boy, instrumental, foundational. They are the ones that you will continue to come back. Bring them back. Bring me down to three.
Okay, well, I have to start with some of the ones that are kind of recent on my list. And let me pause by saying this. Reading doesn't necessarily mean you have to hold a book in your hand. That's something that I've kind of picked up recently, because as my schedule gets busier, I have to come up with different ways that I can still take in the information. So, Joel, I will tell you that one of my new passions now is audiobooks. They go great in the car. They go really great when you're cleaning up the house or you're taking the dog for a walk, and you can get them in. So if I had to do three, I would say I'm into Rachel Rogers now. So We Should All Be Millionaires. And I think we should all be millionaires, right? I'm into The Serving Leader. I love The Serving Leader. And then probably one of my favorite is Black Fortunes, because I learned so much historical information about people who look like me. So Black Fortunes, Readers Are Leaders, and We Should All Be Millionaires. Not that there is a theme behind that one. I'm sorry, Serving Leader, and then We Should All Be Millionaires. There is a theme behind there. You know, wealth, financial literacy, all of those things are really important to me now as I get older. But those would probably be my top.
Well, I'm aware, Denebra, that we've crested the half-hour mark, and I want to make sure that I'm respectful of your time, but I've got a question for you that I ask everybody, and I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm excited now. Let me sit up.
You got to deliver, because you've been delivering.
All right, listen. Everybody's got this question. Hit me.
What's something that you believe, Denebra? That you believe if everyone else believed this too, you would make the world a much better place?
Something that I believe, that people are genuinely good. I believe that people are genuinely good. And I think if we all leaned into that, it will make this world a much better place.
And why do you believe that? Why is that your answer?
Yeah, I think teaching hate and evil and bad and wrong, I think all of those things come from maybe environmental stimuli. I think it comes from hurt people, hurt people. We've heard that a lot, right? I think it comes from things that have happened to other people, circumstances. But I genuinely believe when I look at our kids, right, who later grow up to be the future, I believe that there's generally good intentions behind who they are and who they're born as. I just think we have to continue to nurture that. I think if we stay on the path of believing that people just want to be good to each other, then it'll help us to be good to each other. So that's what I believe. Plus, I'm an optimistic person. So.
That's a great answer. I wouldn't have expected anything less. How does that impact then? Oh, I'm cheating here and asking more questions after my last question.
All right. No, all good. All good.
how does that belief influence the way you lead others when they make mistakes or when they maybe do something that isn't good? And you're like, maybe it's a moral failure. Maybe it's something that they try to hide because they were embarrassed. But when you look through your lens of people are good, how does that impact the way you lead in those tough circumstances?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I celebrate mistakes because mistakes is how we learn. So I welcome them, and I try to create environments where people feel comfortable in making mistakes, because for the most part, we can probably fix or correct a mistake. And encouraging people to know that, you know, mistakes aren't necessarily looked at as you are a bad person. Maybe you've done something that I don't necessarily agree with, or that falls out of line with who we are as our, in our core values and what we believe. But I try to welcome mistakes. And I say that leaning into my belief that people are genuinely good, that people want to do good, has helped me really to find more optimistic opportunities to continue to correct people when I feel like they've done something wrong, because I believe that they're going to be open and receptive to the idea of how we can get back on track. I lead with a very strong leadership philosophy and a core value system. And that is means that, you know, there's some things that are non-negotiable for me. Truth and honesty and authenticity. Those things are non-negotiable for me. And again, I try to welcome that so that people feel safe and comfortable displaying those things, even when it means that they may have disappointed me, because it's temporary, right? If I really believe that your intentions are good, then I learn to forgive and we move on and we learn from the mistakes that we make.
Well, I can tell why you've stuck around so long at Ceridian, now Dayforce, where people are like, we got to keep this one. and we have to make sure she has greater and greater influence. And I know how busy you are, and I know how crazy your calendar must be. And I can't thank you enough for spending this amount of time with me and sharing with the listeners of the podcast your insights and your wisdom. It's been an absolute delight. And I'm just grateful that we were able to kind of by happenstance meet and then realize that we live 20 minutes away from each other.
I am thankful too. This has been a great opportunity. I appreciate you, your encouragement of showing up to Ibra as authentic, right? You are an amazing host, and I appreciate the opportunity. Now I'm looking forward to chatting with you again.
Well, wonderful. Me too. And for those listening, I hope you've had a similar experience today. I hope you feel encouraged and you feel motivated and inspired to go find your sponsor, to go find your next path for being mentored and built into. And if you don't have that, that you're aggressive, you go get what you want. You go make it happen, because you are in charge of that future for yourself and you can't wait on others to go get it for you. I hope you feel encouraged along the lines of being your authentic self, being your vulnerable self, being who you really are, and then surrounding yourself with people who appreciate and love that version of you, that you're not fake, that you're not out there trying to impress others by being someone that you're not, but that you stay true to who you've been made to be, and that you are humble along the way, that you know what you know and you hold to it and you're strong about that, but that you also embrace what you don't know, and that you are willing and able to take your lumps and grow and make mistakes and become better along the way. So I've learned so much, Denebra. I've been encouraged by you, and hope everyone else has too.
Thank you again for Joel. I appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, likewise. For those listening, thank you for listening to another episode of the Frontline Industry Podcast, and we will see you next time.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Etana, leveraging cutting-edge training and analytics to create better leaders and better company culture. ATANA.com. Are you truly authentic and vulnerable? Take some time this week and ask 3 to 4 people in your most intimate social circle whether or not those are words they've used to describe you. Then make a plan on how to grow. Read some Brené Brown, perhaps. Do something. There might not be a more important skill for you to cultivate. See you soon.